Laura, good morning.
Hey, Nate.
Hey, thank you for joining me.
That's okay.
So, Laura, what are some little known facts about Anzac Day?
Well, if you might not know, but the first official dawn service, which was held at Sydney's Cenotaph, actually happened in 1928. And it was put on by just a small group of returned veterans. And they held this small ceremony just before dawn. Basically, they did a stand to, and they observed the 2 minute silence to honour their fallen comrades, and that was really where it began. And eventually, it just got bigger as people, you know, saw it happening and decided that they thought it was a good idea, and now it's become what it is today.
That's quite interesting because you know, we're obviously, you know, we all know about Anzac Day, but. And we know what it's about, but we don't really know how it started. Like, it always seems to just be a thing that's always been. I'm quite surprised that it was 1928. I'd be interested to know if that was kind of like a special year or something.
Yeah, I mean, I do wonder that myself. I think there were probably a lot smaller personal ceremonies. I mean, I'm sure returned servicemen and women back in the day definitely took time to remember what happened for themselves and amongst their, you know, communities of returned soldiers. But I think, yeah, when it comes to when it became an official dawn service, yeah, it was a lot later on than I guess most people might have expected.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you know, traditions take time to develop, don't they?
Absolutely.
What other little facts do you know?
Okay, so you might have heard, if you're ever at a dawn service or you go out after a dawn service for some breakfast, obviously it's a public holiday, so not much is open, but there's a thing called a gunfire breakfast. Don't worry, it's not as bad as it sounds.
Oh.
So it dates back to World War One, and it was basically, it's a term used to describe that first steaming hot cup of tea that our soldiers had in the morning when they got up. And, you know, of course, cup of tea. It was, of course, said to be started by the Brits.
Which, well, I like my tea.
I love tea.
I'm Australian.
Tea's great. But yeah, so that was where it started. And, you know, today, I mean, your typical gunfire breakfast is held by your local RSL or community centres. Usually consists of something like bacon and eggs, some sausages and a bit of tea and coffee. Just you know, whatever's around, you know, to feed us. The people who come out for the dawn service and who maybe are sticking around before the march later on in the day. So, yeah.
It's quite interesting. And, like, at first I was a little bit worried they might replace, like, the pepper with gunpowder. That might be not the most delicious breakfast. I'm glad it sounds actually pretty good. I'm kind of wanting some bacon and eggs. How do they celebrate in Antarctica? I mean, it seems a bit like so far away. It's quite bizarre.
Yeah. So, Australians who are, you know, based in Antarctica, they do celebrate Anzac Day, or, you know, not celebrate, but commemorate. So the southernmost Anzac Day commemorations were actually held this morning at the Casey Research Station in Antarctica. And now that is manned by the Australian Antarctic Division. And they held a very chilly flag-lowering ceremony this morning at minus 15-degree temperatures.
Oh.
Yep. They also observed the traditional minute silence and... don't worry, they warmed up afterwards with our gunfire brekkie.
Oh, yeah.
And later today, they'll be live streaming the AFL. So it's really interesting. I wouldn't have thought, you know.
You think, you know, Antarctica is just like penguins and things. So it's quite interesting that they're still able to do, you know, like pay their respects there, but also, you know, like gunfire brekkie, watch AFL in Antarctica, like.
Yep.
That's the dream, isn't it?
Right. It's a really important day. And I think, you know, most Australians, even if you're, you know, on the other side of the world, we see Aussies commemorating and taking, even just to take a few minutes and, you know, think about it. People do.
Really brings people together.
It really does.
Well, as, you know, we're talking about gunfire brekkies, it's making me a bit hungry. So let's talk about another Anzac Day tradition. The Anzac Day biscuit, is there any, tell me about it.
Alrighty, well, I love Anzac Day biscuits. They are delicious.
They're really good.
My mum makes the best ones. So basically, the Anzac wafer was the title that it was originally given, was a hardtack biscuit or long life biscuit that substituted for bread for our soldiers overseas in the First World War. And they were not, you know, necessarily popular with soldiers at Gallipoli, but, you know, the recipes have really evolved into something a little more, you know, tasty these days. And so we the ones that we make today are probably a little bit different from what they would have had back then. But yeah, the idea was that they were used making things that were long lasting, so they stayed fresh for a while and could be sent over. And in addition to that, yeah, they're also able to be made with things that people had on hand. Obviously, we had rationing in Australia at the time. So, yeah, things like oats, you know, a little bit of sugar, not a lot. Butter was sort of hard to come by back then. So, yeah, it really limited what you could make at the time. So that's where Anzac biscuits sort of came from. But, yeah, the more, you know, domestic versions that we see today are a lot more tasty, I think, than what they would have had back then.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of butter in Anzac Day biscuits now. But, like, it's quite interesting, you know, Anzac Day biscuits are so popular. They taste pretty good. Like, I love them. But, you know, they have quite humble beginnings. Like,
they do.
Like, I mean, it's quite interesting to stop and kind of reflect on where it all came from. Mm. One last question before you go. I've heard something about a sphinx in regards to Anzac Day. I'm like, that's a bit bizarre.
Okay, so this is a little little local story. In the Sydney suburb of Tarramurra, there is in fact a sandstone sphinx that serves as a memorial for fallen soldiers. Oh. Yeah, so it was actually hand carved by a returned World War I veteran named William Shirley. And now he was a private in the AIF and he enlisted in 1916 as part of the 4th Infantry
I can't pronounce it. Infantry Brigade.
Thank you. Yes, and he served in France and Egypt. Now, he was a stonemason by trade before the war, so he obviously had the skills to do this, but he carved the Sphinx and two pyramids out of the sandstone that's in the bush over at Tarramurra while he was a patient at the nearby Lady Davidson home, which was sadly a hospice for people suffering with tuberculosis. Now, he passed away shortly after that. Oh. But in 1930, the Tuberculosis Sailors and Soldiers Association of New South Wales took over maintaining the carvings, and you can still visit them today. They're in pretty good nick.
Yeah. It's a really interesting story. Like, wow, it's quite touching in a way, yeah. Isn't it? Like, I mean, I knew about it, but like I said before, you never really stop to reflect on the origins, and they've always got such just touching origins in a way.
They like, do. And I think it's honestly, most of them are just, it's people, local people, just trying to, you know, find a way that they can say, you know, thank you for your service and, you know, mark the day.
Mm, what a wonderful way to just, you know, mark the day of Anzac Day.
Mm.
Laura, thank you so much for joining me this morning. Had a really great chat with you. Thank you so much.
That's all right, Nate. I'll see you later.
See you later. Thank you very much. She's in the studio, so still seeing her as we speak.